भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, entitled The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. Text number 30.
Vrittihi Sankara Jatinam Tat Tat Kulakrita Bhavet Achauranam Apapanam Antyajantavasainam Antyajantavasainam Vritti Sankara Jatinam Vritti Sankara Jatinam Tat Tat Kula Krita Bhavet Tat Tat Kula Krita Bhavet Achauranam Apapanam Achauranam Apapanam Antyajante Vasainam Antyajante Vasainam Vritti Sankara Jatinam Tat Tat Kula Krita Bhavet Achauranam Apapanam Antyajante Vasainam Vritti Sankara Jatinam Tat Tat Kula Krita Bhavet Achauranam Apapanam Antyajante Vasainam Vrittihi Occupational Duty Sankara Jatinam Of the mixed classes of men Those other than the four divisions Tat Tat According to their respective Kulakrita family tradition Bhavet should be Achauranam not thieves by profession Apapanam not sinful Antyaja Lower classes. Antevasainam. Known as Antevasai or Chandala. Translation. Among the mixed classes known as Sankara, those who are not thieves are known as Antevasai or Chandalas. Or dog eaters, and they also have their hereditary customs. Responsively, please repeat among the mixed classes known as Sankara, those who are not thieves are known as Antevasayi, or Chandalas, or dog eaters. And they also have their hereditary customs. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The four principal divisions of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, have been defined. And now there is a description of the Antyaja, the mixed classes. Among the mixed classes, there are two divisions, Pratilomaja and Anulomaja. If a woman of a high caste marries a man of a lower caste, their union is called Pratilo. If a woman of a low caste, however, marries a man of a higher caste, their union is called Anulo. The members of such dynasties have their traditional duties as barbers, washermen, and so on. Among the Antyajas, those who are still somewhat pure, in that they do not steal and are not addicted to meat eating, drinking, illicit sex, and gambling, are called Antevasayi. Among people of the lower classes, intermarriage and the drinking of wine are allowed, for these people do not recognize such conduct as sinful among themselves. Vritti sankara jati nam tatat kula krita bhavet achauranam apapanam ante antyajante vasainam. Among the mixed classes known as sankara, those who are not thieves are known as antevasai, or chandalas, or dog eaters, and they also have their hereditary customs. So this is the title of this chapter, is The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. And as we are endeavoring to the best of our ability in this Kali Yuga to create a perfect society, we will have to consider the institution of Varnashrama Dharma in this age. The Varnashram system is particularly important because Varnashram endeavors to elevate people from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, and from the mode of goodness they can be elevated to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness, transcendental goodness. Varnashram Dharma is a system of management, or a system of division of labor for the material world, and it is important for those who are still attached to the bodily conception of life. So this includes most of us. As we discussed last night, we are not exactly devotees of Krishna in the perfect sense, but we are sadhakas, or trying to become devotees of Krishna. So this Varnashram Dharma is important for us to the degree to which we are still experiencing happiness and distress in the material world. Varnashram Dharma will help us to be properly situated in our work according to our physical and mental makeup, our physical and mental situation. So there's value there. You have heard about Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. You've also heard about the position of the wives of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. What are their duties? In this verse, the position of those who are outside of the four Varnas, their situation is explained and what their duties are. So, these are things that we have to learn for our preaching work, and by Krishna's arrangement, when he gives us good intelligence, we're going to have to apply these things even in our own lives. Just as we have divisions of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, and we know there are different duties, and nobody has any problem with that. But we're also going to have to recognize that some people have brahminical qualifications or tendencies, let's say. Some people have the tendency of a kshatriya or qualifications of a kshatriya. Some vaishya, some shudra, and some are on the level of chandala. Now, when we say chandala and we connect that with devotional service, we mean someone who may be coming in a family of chandalas and cannot be exactly situated in one of the four varnas. It does not mean that such a person should continue to engage in the activities of a chandala. He may come from such a background. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Aho bhata swapachato gariyan yajjivagre vartate namatubhyam te pusta puste juhuvu sashnuraya brahmanuchur nama grananti yete. Someone who is a swapacha, generally a chandala means dog eater. Swapacha also means dog eater. So the Srimad Bhagavatam says that even someone who comes in a family of chandalas or swapach, if he's engaged in chanting the holy names of Krishna, then he should not be considered a chandala. He is actually a very exalted person. He happens to have the background or the body of a chandala, but he has changed his ways. So for the most part here, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, everyone, all of the followers of Daivi Varnashrama, are meant to follow the regulative principles. Once, many years ago, in the early 70s, there were discussions about kshatriyas being allowed to have many wives and engage in illicit sex and eating different things. So some devotees began to compare, and they began to think that, well, I can be a devotee, but I think I'll choose to be a kshatriya because you get more benefits in that varna. You get to fight and you get to eat meat and you get to have more sex life. So I'll be a Kshatriya. But Prabhupada clarified in a morning walk in Vrindavan where he spoke about Varnashram Dharma and where he was asked specifically about Daivi Varnashram. He clarified that everyone is expected to follow the regulative principles. No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This is for everyone. Here we learn that there are a class of people who are even outside of the ante Vasai Chandala, or there are a class of men who just cannot give up their addiction to sinful habits. But if they're not inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then even they are offered an opportunity to associate or to take part in the perfect society. They're offered an opportunity to take part in building the perfect society. But it should be understood that they are on the very lowest level of society and they may not be offered the type of respect that they think they deserve. In other words, we have our ego, and it is hard for us. We have been taught throughout our schooling, throughout our childhood, we've been taught to see things in terms of placement in a hierarchy, first, second, third, in our sports, in our education. There are A students, B students, C students, and failures, D and F. And who is the A student? You know, his parents in America, they have stickers and they ride car stickers. My child is an A student. And, you know, they boast about their children. No one rides. I am proud of my son who was a failure in class. There are no stickers like that. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on children to compete with one another. In fact, even in India nowadays, this mentality is there, and we see that there's a significant rise in teenage suicide. Children are feeling pressure from their parents and from society to compete and to succeed and to get ahead. That is the goal. Somehow or other, become an A student, become an honor student, become a scholastic or get some type of sports scholarship or somehow be ahead of the rest. But that is not the goal of Varnashrama. The goal of Varnashrama is not to somehow or other maintain the prestige of a Brahmana. If one is properly situated as a Vaishya or a Sudra, then he should simply perform his work and be satisfied that Krishna knows best, that Mahatmanas tu mam partham daivim prakritim ashrita. When you are under the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then he will take care of you perfectly. He will fulfill all of your desires and he will help you to make progress in going back home, back to Godhead. We should know that you cannot enter the kingdom of God by physical force.
You cannot enter the kingdom of God by mechanical arrangement. That is what Ravana wanted to do. He wanted to build a mechanical staircase to heaven, and perhaps from there an elevator to Vaikuntha. I don't know. But he wanted some mechanical arrangement. But it is not possible to enter the kingdom of God. Even the four Kumaras, who were almost qualified to enter the kingdom of God, they were refused entry. So the spiritual world is only accessible to those who are completely pure in heart, who are free from all kinds of lust, anger, greed, envy, any other type of contamination, any type of material attachment. And this can be achieved only by the mercy of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. We cannot achieve this by our own endeavor. We can practice certain activities, certain processes. We were reading yesterday about different processes, plural, processes of yoga, processes of devotional service. And by that we can attract the mercy of Lord Krishna, of Radharani, of the Vaishnavas, by our behavior, by our achar. In fact, it is very important. Prabhupada said we should not try to see Krishna. We should not be so much in anxiety that, why can't I see Krishna? If there is God, then let me see him. The materialistic men are very proud of their ability to see. If I can't see it, then it doesn't exist. But we cannot see so many things, and we accept their existence. We cannot see the wind, but we accept the existence of the wind. We cannot see electrons or protons or neutrons or quasars or neutrinos, or I don't know, they have so many names for different particles that you can't see, but they simply accept their existence because they see some effect. So you cannot see Krishna with these eyes. So what will you do? Bhakti Siddhanta advises us, rather than try to see Krishna, we should act in such a way that Krishna will see us. Our activities should be exemplary. And we can work on that. This is called working within your circle of influence. You cannot order Krishna that I want to see you. You come here now. Otherwise, if you're not careful, I'll stop being a member of your fan club. Krishna doesn't care whether you're a member of his fan club. It's no skin off his nose, as they say. There's an English expression. It's no problem for Krishna if you're not his follower. It's to your advantage. By your becoming a devotee of Krishna, you will be able to get out of your suffering condition. You will be able to stop the cycle of birth and death. You will be able to live eternally in Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety, no suffering. So it is to your advantage to become a devotee of Krishna. And Krishna is giving you the process. You take it up and you attract his attention. Then you will get his mercy. Man proposes and Krishna disposes. God disposes. Krishna is the doer. So if you desire, if you propose to Krishna that I want to become your devotee,
I want to receive your blessings, I want to receive your mercy, then he can take up your case. He can help you. He can give you extra tutoring after class. He can help you in so many ways. So this whole idea of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or here we have Chandala, it really doesn't matter where you fit in. As long as you fit in somewhere, and as long as you try to make progress. Once you start sincerely trying to advance in devotional service, then you have achieved, practically you have achieved the goal. The goal is to always think of Krishna and to never forget Krishna. So as soon as you start trying to remember Krishna, practically Krishna won't let you go, first of all. Krishna won't let you get away. He will always bring you back if you try to avoid devotional service. You should know that somehow, sometime, this lifetime or the next, Krishna will bring you back. And secondly, just being on the path itself, you are not the doer. So the only thing you can do is to desire to be the servant of Krishna. Once you do that, you will be surprised how you will make progress, how the obstacles will be removed from your path. So here Prabhupada is talking about the antyajas, those who are still somewhat pure in that they do not steal and are not addicted to meat eating and etc. But there also are a class of people who are just so fallen that they have sinful conduct. And it's very difficult for them to make progress. They really are working against their own self-interest. They can participate, but whatever we do that is contrary, whatever we do that is against the path of devotional service, we will get the reaction. And so at a certain stage, as you make progress, you're going to have to give up sinful activities anyway. You cannot maintain sinful life and think about happiness in the same sentence. The two do not go together. Sinful life and happiness are completely opposite, juxtaposed. They're opposed to each other. So if you're thinking that it's very difficult to give up sinful habits, let me carry on chanting. Yes, you should carry on chanting, but you should also know that your sinful habits are just going to bring you difficulty, and they won't bring you satisfaction, and you've come so far. You're one of a very special group of people, manushyanam sahasreshu. Out of many millions of men, you are thinking about spiritual life. You are trying to practice spiritual life. So you're very special, and you've come so far, so why not give it a try? Why not just give up intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling, and see the result? You won't die from it, There's never been a case where someone who gave up meat eating died. In fact, it's just the opposite. There are so many statistics to show that meat eating is the cause of cancer, the cause of heart disease, the cause of rheumatism and so many other very devastating diseases that people get. In fact, now in America, there are a number of people who are working together to bring a case, a court case, against the meat packers industry. Just like there have been many people who have brought court cases against the cigarette and tobacco industry. They won their case because they proved that cigarette smoking is a public hazard. Cigarette smoking is very injurious to the health, and it causes so much expense. It creates so much expense for society, for the government. And they've sued the cigarette and tobacco industry, and now the cigarette and tobacco industry are engaged in negotiating with the government how their industry will be very much reduced, how it will be very much limited. So now, devotees and others, vegetarians, they want to bring a similar court case against the Meat Packers Association. And because it is a fact that meat eating is a hazard. It causes the government, the welfare system, and just in general, it causes so many problems, and it's not necessary. Intoxication. No one has died from not getting drunk. In fact, it's just the opposite. Alcohol destroys your brain tissues. Every time you get drunk, you destroy thousands of brain cells. And, of course, you have a few billion brain cells, but the way some people drink, it actually won't take them long to burn up all their brain cells. And illicit sex. Well, if they haven't figured out yet, they're getting so many reactions to their illicit sex. But no one has died by being celibate. No one has died by following the religious principles in married life. In fact, it is by following religious principles within married life we'll see that the consciousness of people will be stronger and stronger, and their married lives will be happier and happier, because you're destined to fail if you're just if you only think of sex life all the time. Even in family life, no one will respect you, especially your wife, because you have no spine, like a worm has no spine. So similarly, a man who's simply interested in sex all the time, he's just like a worm. Who wants to associate with a slimy, cold worm? Except for another worm. So, it's against our self-interest to be attached to illicit sex. And gambling is simply a waste. Everybody knows that very few people benefit from gambling. And wherever there's gambling, these other sinful activities generally take place. So you're going to have to give them up eventually. So might as well avoid them altogether. So at least people who are on the lowest level, if they're taught these things, they may not be forced, or they may not be, for example, we in our community in New Vrindavan, at one time they had different groups of devotees living in different areas on the land. They had 3,000 acres of land. And those who were very devoted and very dedicated to the worship of the deities and to devotional service. They lived very close to the temple. Those who were a little bit less committed, they lived a little farther away in apartments, etc. They even had a group of devotees who didn't follow the regulative principles. They were addicted to intoxication and illicit sex. So they were not discouraged from practicing devotional service, but they were not allowed to live on New Vrindavan. They lived off the land, off ISKCON property. Everybody knew what their situation was. They liked to do something. They would bring money, or they would do some kind of service. Sometimes they would help in building buildings, doing some menial service, whatever it was. But they just liked to associate with the devotees. So they weren't discouraged, but they were kept in their proper place. So Varnashram society is simply about organizing labor according to propensity and according to one's renunciation. And, of course, renunciation is respected because we need someone to teach us. Our goal is to cut the knot of material affection and go back to Godhead. We know that this material world is a temp dukkhalayam ashasvatam. It is ashasvatam. It is not shasvat, but it is temporary. It's not eternal, it's temporary. We know that. So we want to get free from the maya, which makes us try to enjoy the material world. We want to get free from that. So we need to identify devotees who are qualified to give us guidance, who are qualified to lead us, who are qualified to be examples, good examples. We may not come to that standard as quickly as we would like to, but if we have good examples to follow, then we can be inspired. Renunciation requires some motivation. It yathad agre vishamiva. Renunciation in the beginning is difficult. What to say? It material enjoyment in the beginning is nice, but after some time, you get a reaction from it, and it becomes distasteful. After some time, it becomes not satisfying, it becomes boring. Material enjoyment is chewing the chewed. But spiritual renunciation, even though in the beginning it is a little difficult, but because we have a vision, because we have a goal, a higher goal, we undergo some tapasya, some austerity, and parinama mritopamam. In the end, we begin to enjoy spiritual happiness. We begin to enjoy, even materially, we enjoy better. By practicing the brahmanas, that austerity is the wealth of the brahmana class of men. They consider austerity their wealth. They actually enjoy materially better. They have peace of mind. They're not agitated by unlimited desires. And they feel satisfied with whatever Krishna provides them. So that is actually a higher standard of material happiness, to be satisfied with what you have. Just acquiring more and more quantity doesn't guarantee that you will get satisfaction. In fact, it will only agitate you to get more and more. Increasing the quantity of your material things, it's endless. It's like trying to put out a fire by pouring ghee on it. You've got a material fever, you've got a fire for enjoying, and so you go on satisfying the desires by bringing all sorts of facility, but it's just like pouring ghee on a fire. the fire will get bigger and bigger. So, therefore, the austerity of situating ourselves properly in devotional service and doing everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, that does lead to a state of transcendental happiness. Saha yagya praja srishtva. Even in this world, one will be more peaceful, happier. The qualification, not the qualification, but the characteristic of a devotee is that he becomes jolly. He becomes happy. Susukam kartum avyayam. Not only sukam, but susukam. He becomes very happy. So, it's a big subject, Varnashram Dharma. We're not rushing into it, but you can expect that hopefully in the coming years we'll be looking more and more closely at how we can establish the principles of Varnashram. And so it's good that we study these things so we know where we're going to fit in. Okay, does anybody have any questions on this or comments? Yes. Well, I looked at that and it's hard to see. I mean, on the one hand, in the verse, Prabhupada says those who are not thieves are known as antevasai or chandalas. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says that those who are still somewhat pure and are not addicted to meat eating and etc., they're called antevasai. Pardon me, there was some... Oh, he talks about two different... Oh, he calls them antyajas. People, among people of lower classes, intermarriage and drinking of wine are allowed. For these people do not recognize such conduct as sinful among themselves. That's an interesting point also. People who don't have the brain to recognize that what they're doing, you see this in India, in some of the tribes, in the forest, tribal people. You know, they can't understand what they're doing is sinful. It's just they don't have enough brain. So it would be foolish to try to introduce something for them which they have no understanding of. You have to deal with people according to their position. Just like for us, we could not practice Ashtanga Yoga. So Krishna has given us Sankirtan, Bhakti Yoga, very simple process. Still somewhat pure. Well, they're antevasai, they're chandalas, they're outside of the Varnashram system. Their name, dog eaters, you know, it sounds like they eat dogs, and that's, you know, dogs are part of meat eating, so it's hard to exactly understand. All I can say is, as in that verse I quoted, the swapacha, one who is born as a swapacha but who has given up the habits, he is considered to be a very exalted personality. And similarly here, those who are born as chandalas or meat eaters or low class, but who practice the regulative principles, they're called antevasai. I mean, I mentioned that earlier, and I can't figure out anything else but that, although... Any other questions? Yes. Lower than chandalas? Yes, you and me. Chandala is pretty low. Again, it's the same thing here. Among people of the lower classes, intermarriage, these are chandalas. Actually, even the chandalas are categorized as outside of the four varnas. I suppose there are, you could say, rakshasas, yakshas and bhutas and pretas and pishachas, and their rakshasas are demoniac, even they may be part of, by birth, part of Varnashram. For example, Ravana was a brahmana, but he did everything. He certainly wasn't a brahmana by behavior. He was a brahmana by birth, but his behavior was lower than that of a chandala. I think once you get to chandala, anything lower is not even worth naming. I don't know. Any other questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.